I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Yes, he's reporting for duty 3 hours in a row for Virgin Most Powerful. Thank you, brother. Jess, I'm reporting for duty, sir, too. And I think we have a special guest, Frank Kelly, who had a miraculous thing happen to him. He died on he was a contractor and he got electrocuted. And wait till you see what happened when they were writing his death certificate, what happened to him. God raised him up and said, I'm not done with you. You can't wait. This is going to happen the second segment. But Jess, I also want to remind us, a lot of people watching on YouTube right now, and all those brand new YouTubers right now, thank you very much. You see my shirt, The School of Sheen? Yes, this is what we do. We say full sheen ahead here because we are here to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus. We're going to give you the gospel, a sheen quote, and then we're going to get into the issues of the day and also talk to a man who was saved by the blood of Christ, like we all are saved by Jesus. He has a story, though, that's phenomenal. Also, Jess, I want to remind everybody, next week at this time, we're going to be starting the Adoramus Conference with Father Fessio. That's on the 14th, next Saturday, week from Saturday. If you haven't got your ticket, call now, 877-526-2151. You want to meet Father Fessio. He's one of those true believing Jesuits who's been fighting for the Catholic faith for 45 years. Or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse, I remember in the pro-life movement, you'll like this one, he goes with a trash truck to an abortion clinic with a mask on and says, yeah, this is horrible what they're doing. We got to stop this. And so the media picked it up, and it was in the Wanderer, and it was all over Catholic papers saying Fessio went in there to shut down the clinic. This is a Jesuit who takes, you know, no for an answer. I mean, he's spreading the faith through his publication, Ignatius Press, and Adoramus. It's going to be a great conference on the liturgy, on the Eucharist.
Terry, Father Fessio is like a modern-day St. Maximilian Kolbe. Yeah. What I mean by that is St. Maximilian saw the modernists in the church and the enemies.
Yeah.
He fought them by publications, by putting the truth out on the printed page. That's what Father Fessio has been doing as well. He took St. Maximilian's approach.
And if people come to that conference, I'll tell you a story how Father Fessio went to Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger one time here when I got in trouble with a bishop and went to bat for me. And let's just say Fessio won the fight, because I always have a joke. If there's a fight, my money's on Fessio. Hey, Jess, let's open up our Bibles, though, right now for the gospel of today's reading. Soul food, you bet. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 12. It's short, but powerful.
Yep. It's called Ask, Seek, and Knock. Amen. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what he says. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. For that is the law and the prophets, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus is asking us, he's telling us that he wants to give us things. But what does he want to give us? He wants to give us things that are according to his will, his Father's will, and things that are for our salvation. So I'm going to repeat it again.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, I was asking Jesus for a Jaguar. I've been praying every day, fasting and doing a novena for a Jaguar or for a 10,000 square foot house. And he hasn't given it to me, Jess. Well, why hasn't he? Jesus is not going to give you something worldly that's going to pull you away from him. Jesus is going to grant you your prayers that are according to the Father's will and that are going to make you holy. That's now. If you say, Jesus, can you give me another rosary? Mine, I lost mine. Trust me, he's going to find one for you like in 2 minutes. So that's why, Terry, people don't get what they ask for because they ask for a lot of worldly things and they ask immaturely. Second point I want to make is in verse 11, where Jesus says, you then who are evil, that you know how to give good things to your kids. This is kind of a rhetorical device that Jesus Christ used it. This is the way the rabbis would use rhetoric. They would, you know, use hyperbole, much the way Jesus does here in St. Paul, to make a good point. In other words, Jesus isn't saying categorically that everybody on planet Earth is evil because he calls people righteous. St. Joseph is called the righteous. Job is called righteous. Zechariah and Ananias is called righteous. So there's a lot of people that are called righteous. Job is called righteous. So this is hyperbole when Jesus says all, you know, you guys being evil. It's just a statement to try to raise our awareness that we're all wrestling with concupiscence, and yet we can still do good things for our children when they ask. And finally, the other thing that jumps out at me is verse 12, where he talks about whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for that is the law and the prophets. That's essentially the golden rule, okay? And the golden rule, it's not just something that Jesus Christ taught us in the New Testament. This is something that was also part of Jewish tradition. It's found in Tobit 4:15. It's found in Sirach chapter 31, verse 15. But guess what? They're not in Protestant Bibles. So a Protestant, they're going to say, the golden rule is not in the Old Testament. Yes, it is, Protestants. It's not in your incomplete Old Testament. It's in the real Old Testament. Tobit 4:15, Sirach 31, verse 15. So in other words, Jesus Christ is giving us the golden rule, quoting the Old Testament, showing that this is basically the positive moral law of God forever and ever.
Jesse, I'm going to add something to it because prayer is always answered. But I'll tell you one prayer. When you pray, Jesus, I want to do your will. Please give me the grace to say yes to you in every action of my day.
That'll be answered.
It is. And you know how we do God's will in our life? By doing our duties and our state in life. So many people say, I don't know what God wants of me. Yes, your sanctification. That's what the Bible says. That's what God wants. And how do you sanctify your day? By offering it all to Jesus. And Jesse, the quote from Fulton Sheen fits again right with the scriptures, especially with men. I don't know if you realize, folks that are listening, we in our strategic planning, we're trying to reach men who are not practicing their faith. So I would ask you to send the podcast to any of your brothers and any men, because that's what Jess and I are trying to do, because we know if men are engaged in their Catholic faith,
we got the family.
We got the family, dude. Yep. Mom, I love you. But guess what? If I'm not leading the family, it ain't going to work. All right, so that's what we're doing. Now, Jess, let's bring in that locomotive chain. Hey, there it comes.
That's right.
Full sheen ahead. This is about religion. He says, not many men want to die to their lower selves. It costs so much. Some prefer to have a cosmic religion, which puts no restraint on their pride, nor curbs their passions. In other words, they want a religion that says, if it feels good, do it. And you see, Jesus Christ says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. See, he says, without the cross, there's no salvation. So what are we saying to the men of our world today? Men, turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Turn your will over to Jesus Christ. This whole thing about sex, money, and pleasure, that's worldly pleasures that's going to send you right to hell. Okay, I said it. You know why? Because it's true. We need to turn our life over to Christ and his church. And remember this, gentlemen, that you are responsible for the salvation of your wife and your children by good example. And if you're not giving that good example and you're saying, well, I haven't done that, well, then go to confession, get back engaged in the Catholic faith, gentlemen, because that's what God wants of you. That's his will. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yep. Terry, and also right now we're in a time of Lent, and just something very basic, just for especially men to grasp this.
Yeah.
Just remember this. Prayer connects you to God. I'm going to repeat it again.
Yeah, okay? Say it again.
Prayer connects you to God. Fasting disconnects you from the world.
Exactly.
Let me say that again, okay? So one is positive and one is negative, okay? Prayer connects you to God. That's what it does. Okay, think about your son. Your if you have a baby or when your kids were small, and they would come and talk to you, what do? You put them on your lap. You hold them. You listen to them. You talk back to them. That's what prayer does. You're jumping on God the Father's lap, and he holds you, and he wants to listen to you, and then he talks back to you. That's what prayer does, guys. It connects you to God. And fasting is meant because the devil wants to connect us to the world through our emotions and our passions. So fasting is one of those practices that we should bump up during Lent, especially on Fridays. I'm doing Wednesdays and Fridays. I know some people that do Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays fast and penance. I know Catholics that do Monday, Wednesday. I'm just doing Wednesday and Friday. But the fact is, fasting and penance disconnects you from the world, and it makes you realize how much we need God. We need God more than we need our next breath of air.
Well said. We're going to have a great guest coming in. His name's Frank Kelly. So don't turn away from this, because he had a miraculous thing happen to him. We had other guys that where they die and they come back to life, and then God has a mission for those people, obviously. And we'll have that just when we come back. But I also want to remind all of your brand new listeners that this is a podcast. All of our shows, if you want to go back to our website or to our app, just look for the old shows. You can listen to them. And I say send them to your friends, because that's how we're growing, by you sending them to friends and family. And also liking our YouTube page. And also the things that we promote here on our commercials. Thanks for giving us your car, your old car, because that supports us. Thanks for using Pro-Life Real Estate Agents. All of that is helping us to proclaim Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Up next, Frank Kelly, to talk about how God saved his life. Literally, he died and came back, and now what's he doing? You'll find out much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I always like to say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess has been on the air for 3 hours, so you pray for that, man. He's been proclaiming the word through his show and then Gary Machuda. And if you want to listen to those shows, they're going to be podcast at the end of the day. Just Jesse gave some really good teachings on apologetics that I think you'll really enjoy. At this time, I want to welcome Frank Kelly. He's a gifted speaker, and he has a healing ministry of Frank Kelly. Frank Kelly, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Terry, for having me on.
Well, Frank, praise the Lord is right, brother. I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how God intervened very powerfully in your life. Can you share that with us, please?
I certainly can. I'll do it the shortest version I can. Mm-hmm. 1985, I was working in a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an insulator, not an electrician.
Okay.
Electrician had pulled his wires to a huge junction box.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a crawl space where I couldn't see to my left at all. So I was working on top of a unit, dragging along.
Yeah.
Well, we finished that job, come back the next day. The electrician didn't come back. But what he did, he pulled all his wires to this junction box. Right, my right wrist hit the entire electricity for Tufts Medical School and hospital.
Wow.
Came through my body. Went out my hips, my calves, my feet, arced off, hit the ceiling, came right back to my body again. To describe electrocution, you ever burn your finger, all my joints felt like that. Of course, I passed out. I had no idea what was happening. And next thing I know, I was on a stretcher. Now, I don't know. I'm out.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that worked under me heard them say, let's send him to the morgue because they thought I was already dead. And the question was, I was still breathing, and that wasn't making any sense, see?
Yeah.
So they said, let's bring him right in here to this hospital, right in that hospital, Tufts, see?
Yeah.
It used to be called New England Medical. So I walked in, I get in, I'm in a room, not knowing what's going on, out like a light, and they sent in a fourth-year med student with my death certificate.
Okay.
And the second in command of the whole hospital said, he ought to go any minute. When he goes, just sign the papers and send him to the morgue. Well, a lot of people don't know, every now and then, dead body can shake, see? Mm-hmm. Or it can pop up.
Yeah.
My situation, I popped up. Young man looked at me, just pushed me down, went to sign my death certificate, and I said, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, and he was out the door.
I bet you blew him away, dude. That's funny.
He got to the door. He said, what did you say? I said, I have to go to the bathroom. He said, don't go anywhere. Out the door. He goes, no, never mind. I had to go to the bathroom. I don't know what happened to me. I'm very warm through my whole body, and I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I was blessed.
Amen.
At the foot of that hospital was St. James the Greater Church. Mm-hmm. I was able to attend Mass every day there. At noontime, do my prayers.
Yes.
Pray to Our Lady of Perpetual Help was devotion I had.
Good.
Padre Peel. And I would go to the tabernacle and say, Jesus Christ, God, I want to give glory to your Father. So that's my prayer every day.
Beautiful.
Well, the next thing you know, all these doors shot open. Everybody come running in. Now, it looked fogged to me, a little bit foggy, but I could see everybody was dressed in white.
Yeah.
So I thought I made it.
That's cute.
Yeah, they told you. Everybody would be dressed in white.
That's right.
So, but the guy leaned over to me and he said, you know something? They knew me as Cal.
Yeah.
That's how they called me because I was a foreman. I knew all the department heads. Yeah. They said, Cal, you're better off dead. Because I was just about blowing the whole medical field right up crazy. They didn't know how this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted me. And I come down and this doctor came in and said to me, do you have any heart problems? I said, never in my life. He said, oh. He said, well, we got to put a pacemaker in you. I said, a what? He said, a pacemaker. I said, oh. So I thought it was like a wristwatch. Put it on your wrist, and wrist, and I could go home.
Yeah.
You know, he said, oh, no, it's going to be a battery, wires, and everything. I said, doc, do me a favor. He said, what's that? Get me a casket, give me a priest, give me last rites, I'll get out of here. You know?
That's funny.
And he said, no, my job is to keep you here. And I said, don't work so hard, you know? And he said, okay. So he thought I had fear, brought down an anesthesiologist. He told me all this stuff, you'll be all like a light and all this. And I said, yeah, now, see, up to that case, I had never had a stitch to me.
Wow.
I'd been hit by a car. I fell 70 feet. I had a lot of things that happened to me.
Yeah.
But never had a stitch, never had an operation, never had anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where this fear was coming over me.
Sure.
Because I didn't want the operation, see?
Right.
Well, he told me everything would be fine. I said, okay. He left. I didn't believe him. So I grabbed my rosary beads, started to pray, to Padre Pio.
Yep.
He's been in my life since at the age of 5 when my mother gave us. She used to say this, prayer is nothing but God instructing you. My brothers brought me to church every morning because they were altar service.
Sure.
And I always tell people, bring your children to church.
Amen.
Every time the Word of God is read, you don't know what will hit you. Word of God is the power of God, and the power of God is love. Amen. Well, this particular gospel that was read was that Jesus was ascended back to heaven, I'll leave you many signs and wonders. Well, we used to talk about our saints, but then Mom opened this book on Peel, and I said, wow, he's a stigmata. So he had the outward signs.
Yes.
So that stuck with me. So I said, if I ever need him, I'm always going to pray to him for his intercession and go to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was saying my rosary, and next thing you know, Padre Pio walked right into my room.
I love it.
He told me, he said, everything will be fine. Don't worry about a thing.
Uh-huh.
Everything will be peaceful.
Yeah.
And he was gone. So I had no fear at all. I said, well, I'm about to have a new heart, because that was another thing I used to pray, Lord, if my heart isn't right, you give me a new one, okay?
Sure.
So I knew I was about to have a new heart. The whole surgery was done and everything, and doctor was quite surprised that I knew he went away and came back. You can read that in the book. Mm-hmm. It stopped a lot of it.
Sure.
Well, I went home with the gift of piety. As St. Paul says, you can pray unceasingly. They don't try to do this. It's a gift from God.
Right.
But you can try and pray as much as you can. Don't ever do that. But I couldn't stop praying. I couldn't stop saying the rosary. I couldn't stop saying the Station of the Cross. I couldn't get Mass fast enough. Now, mind you, I was shuffling around.
Sure.
I didn't know if I ever was going to do anything ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But my beautiful thing was I used to do 10 to 12 hours a day in adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to stay there. I loved it.
Sure.
And then one day I heard a voice said, this is going to end. I said, no, I like this. But of course, you could see it ended.
Sure.
But I eventually would go on. And the only thing I did do was I used to smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I didn't say any prayers. I would go outside of the, you know, Adoration Chapel, have a cigarette, go back in.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it too often, but it once in a while.
Sure.
One day I stepped out. I saw a big sign that said, stop smoking. I thought I was losing my, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I ignored it. Then I saw it again. And I said, On another day, then I heard, stop smoking. And I said, okay, I know I'm not losing that. I heard that, and I ignored it. See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, I had moved. We moved into an apartment. We had all these boxes and everything. I said to my son, get upstairs. You know, he was going to bed and everything. And he helped me break up all these boxes. And I reached for my pocket where my cigarettes usually were, and I went, I'm out of cigarettes. So he was in bed, and I was more than, like you said, 5 minutes to your radio station. I was no more than 4 minutes from this gas station where I could get cigarettes.
Yeah.
So Joe's in bed, asleep, everything. I checked everything. I was already to go, and I heard the voice again said, don't go. Well, I have to admit, you know, we're stubborn. Our will is stronger than God's. If anybody has questions about that, look at the prophet Balaam when he said, don't go, and he went. You know, the rest is history from there. I get in my car, and I went, and I got the cigarettes, came home, lit up a cigarette, looked to my left, and the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting right there.
Wow.
He said, put the cigarette out, which I did do, took me to the kitchenette to place them on top of the refrigerator, which I thought was a little unusual, but, you know. And when I came out of the kitchenette with him, he said, no longer are you going to smoke again, because this is an answer to your son's prayer.
Wow.
Almost hit the floor.
I bet. Frank, let me jump in. Let me jump in here. God has worked a lot of miracles in your life. So there's obviously a lot of graces that are coming to you. Now, I have a copy of your book, Shortcut, Short Circuit to God, The Electrifying Spiritual Journey of Frank Kelly. How can people get your book, Frank?
They can go on frankkelly.org and you'll see it. You'll see it right up in there, how to order it and things like that.
Good.
All the proceeds goes to the poor.
Tell me who they go to. I heard Africa and India, right? Isn't that where you give your money? Yeah.
They go to priests from priests to India and priests to Ghana.
Awesome.
I've been taking care of them for over 25 years.
Well, God bless you. Now, Frank, if people want to know about your healing ministry, You're involved with that. Can you tell us a little bit how people can get involved and also get recordings of some of your talks? Because I know people would like that also.
Okay. You can go on Petania 2. Okay.
Petania 2, okay.
Petania 2. It's 508-533-4-3s after
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the different talks that I've done and everything.
Good.
Is on there. Even a Life in the Spirit seminar is on there and everything.
Okay.
You can call them. But if you go on just Petania 2, you can go on their webpage and you can see my materials on there.
Frank,
there's people that record the stuff.
Frank, is there anything on YouTube people could Google your name? What would come up for Frank Kelly?
Oh, loads of things.
Okay, then I'm going to encourage people.
You have to forgive me. I have never even turned on a computer.
Ah! Well, obviously God worked powerfully in your life, Frank.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we can get people to read some of your books and also mm-hmm. what you're doing. Because, you know, our whole purpose of the Terry and Jesse Show, Virgin Most Powerful, is to inspire people to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. What advice would you give to Catholics that are just floundering right now saying, what am I supposed to do? What advice would you give them, Frank?
Well, first and foremost is Jesus did two things.
Mm-hmm.
He loved and he forgave.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
Yep.
If we could just stick to that,
uh-huh.
you would have a much happier and peaceful life.
Yeah, I agree.
See? Because, see, what my mother taught us, prayer is nothing but God instructing you.
There you go.
And that stuck with me as a young child learning that from my mother.
Sure.
And I thank God he used to say to me when I walked for many years at La Salette, he said, go and instruct and use my tools.
Yep.
Took me a while to find out, okay, what are the tools? Saints, angels, right?
Yep.
Apply them. People are shocked what these saints have done and how you can pray to them for their intercession. And like when I pray with people,
yep,
I will give them a saint to pray to.
Good.
And they go, and they'll look at it and say, well, what? I said, well, you have a heart problem or you have arthritis or you have something. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what's wrong with those saints. They had that problem.
Yeah.
Well, and they relate to it, yeah. And that's where they would get the healings to come about.
You got it. Well, Frank, I want to encourage people to get your Gifted by the Holy Spirit, the healing ministry of Frank Kelly. I also want to encourage people to get the Short Circuit to God, the electrifying spiritual journey of Frank Kelly. You heard just a little bit today on it, but I want to just say thank you for saying yes to God and not mm-hmm. not turning over and saying, I'm done, I don't want to get in, because he's obviously moving you in powerful ways. So I want to thank you for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show.
God bless you.
Thank God bless you too, Frank. Hey, when we come back, we've got more to talk about, more saints, more stories that'll inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back with more.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies. Featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. There's a great article that talks about this. A lot of Americans have been looking at CBD.
All over the place.
It's in health stores, it's in chocolate chip cookies, it's in, they're promoting the CBD, all these entrepreneurs. It's called cannabidiol. It's a chemical compound from a cannabis sativa, which is the common marijuana plant. And the FDA has only approved one form of CBD. Why? Because they're pumping millions of dollars into this. Specifically for epilepsy, but not for pain relief, because clinical research has yet to verify that claim. So, Terry, in our society, there's a lot of people.
We're ripe for it.
They're always saying that, hey, we found this new medicinal herb. Mm-hmm. And so medicinal herbs have always been used by cultures.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, coca leaves were used by the Peruvian natives to prevent sickness from altitude.
Mm-hmm.
You got poppy flowers that yield opiates for pain relief.
Yep.
You got another plant called curcumin, and research has shown that it can shrink cancerous tumors even in the brain. And Coca-Cola capitalized on the narcotic effect of cocaine first in 1890 as a proprietary recipe. And you got certain drug companies that have created a devastating global addiction for opioids derived from poppies, and we're seeing right now the effects of that right now. Well, in 1963, Harvard dismissed a psychology professor, Timothy Leary, for pushing recreational use of the psychedelic drug LSD.
Way back then.
Which was derived from mushrooms. And you also have medicine men and shamans who have long used LSD for these initiation rites and these psychedelic trips to faraway places.
Yep.
And the hippies in the 60s, during the Beatle era, you know, they sat in circles sharing marijuana joints, and for 50 years, youngsters were booked for carrying pot by police. But now, it's all over the place. It's recreational use in California is legal. It's believed to, they say that it relieves pain, and it's become a burgeoning billion-dollar industry, much like abortion, Terry.
Yeah,
and it's promising some incredible tax revenues to 40 other American states that are going to legalize it by the end of 2020. We're going to see a devastation in our American culture as a result of this. And you got, again, now the big thing is CBD, Terry.
Yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, CBD products with less than 1/10 of 1% of THC, which is the marijuana component,
that makes you
usually
high,
offers no pain relief. And more THC may be required to feel any relief beyond a placebo effect. And these CBD users, they claim it helps with crippling arthritis, joint pain, with panic disorders, with acne, and so on. So with CBD's wide spectrum of unofficial medical benefits without side effects, unlike cocaine and opium or even Tylenol, it seems to be this soma, this there's a book back in the early 20th century written by Aldous Huxley. It's called A Brave New World, and it's a book that talks about that in the future in America, there's going to be a wonder drug, and they call this wonder drug Soma. Well, this article says, you know what? Maybe the Soma that was predicted over 100 years ago by Aldous Huxley in his Brave New World, maybe it's CBD. You know, this, and he calls it Christianity without tears. He says, do our local churches preach this? The church has always taught the spiritual merits of suffering and penance, but human nature shuns pain and pursues pleasure. But because of CBD, Terry, which is now potentially this new soma, this right. wonder drug,
right.
the age-old teaching of suffering
yeah.
has been diluted to a watered-down, you know, telling people that you're unable, you can't imitate the crucified Christ. It's now been diluted to a watered-down wine, unable to inebriate or inspire listeners to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, pick up our crosses, and follow him, Terry.
Yes, just to back up a little bit, because you wrote a book, 50 Questions on Marijuana. I want people to go to jesseromero.com to pick it up, because I'm sure you have a son or a daughter who's using marijuana. It's just all over the place. So here's what I want to say. When we're dealing with car accidents because these kids are high on marijuana, we're dealing with young people who aren't even showing up for school or for work because they lost their drive to go to work. They lost their drive to go to school. This is a serious matter. And like you said, 40 states, Jesse, are allowing marijuana to be legal. Follow the money. We're selling our young people down the drain because of revenue for taxes. That's my take. And then the last thing I will say about this is what Jess said about, you know, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. You see, this is, fits right into modernism. Yes. How could this fit into modernism? Because I'll tell you why. Modernism says you don't need the cross.
That's right.
You just need to be that Jesus will heal you no matter what. You don't have to ask for repentance. It's fake mercy. And with this drug, with all these drugs, not only on the natural level, Jess, you know this, drugs, especially pain medication, is tough on your liver. We've got lots of people waiting. We got tens of thousands of people right now waiting in line for a new liver because they abused their liver with drugs and alcohol. That's our culture. So I'm just saying we have a supernatural view and also on a natural view not to use these drugs. And I'll tell you what the supernatural view is, Jess. When you unite every action to Jesus Christ, can you imagine the souls that are going to be saved? Think of the wasted pain that's going on in the world right now when it could be applied for the salvation of souls. And then you wonder why Satanism is high right now, Jesse, when people aren't praying.
Nobody wants to suffer.
Exactly. All right, I'm done, Jess.
Yeah, this paragraph backs up what you just said right now, Terry. Yep. It's these last two, it says, such as when Jesus refused to numb the intense suffering of his crucifixion
oh, yeah.
with a drink of vinegar mixed with gall.
Yep.
In those days, charitable women prepared a narcotic potion for crucifixion victims who, if not drugged, would vigorously resist their executioners. The gospel reports it was cheap vinegar wine mixed with myrrh for its stupefying effect. Mark 15:23.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman soldiers allowed this traditional practice to make their tough job easier. History suggests Christ was offered but refused that narcotic potion twice before he was nailed to the cross. And after hanging there a while, in Matthew 27:23, it is significant that just before expiring, he accepted a sour wine without myrrh. So does that mean true Christians emulating Jesus should not use pain relievers like CBD, morphine, or OxyContin? The author says, let the saints among us practice their austerities.
Mm-hmm.
Though it's difficult to emulate Christ on his cross in the course of our earthly lives, perhaps we can refuse any stupefying drugs in our final hour to remain clear-minded at the moment of our death. And that's what I totally agree with him. Boy, oh boy. You want to be sober when you're going to go into the judgment. You don't want to be intoxicated.
Well said. And this article is on our website. It's on jesseromero.com website and virginmostpowerfulradio.org's website. Jesse, the bottom line on all this is it's Lent right now. This is the time where we have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, because in another couple of weeks, we're going to be going to the week that changed the world, Passion Week. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people would not feel comfortable in our church today to talk about Christ and him crucified, because we want a resurrected Christ. We don't want pain And here at the Terry and Jesse Show, Virgin Most Powerful, we're going to give you what the church has taught for 2,000 years. I mean, we're going to give you the miracles about Jesus, that they were actual miracles when he broke the bread and the multiplication of the bread. We're going to tell you that that wasn't the generosity of the people. We're going to say that's Jesus Christ performed these miracles. And I think we need more of that right now, because the world, the devil and the flesh, are coming at us and saying, you don't need that cross. Get off that cross, Jess Romero. Take these pills. See, Terry Barber, get off that cross. You got suffering in your life? Yeah, we all do. What can we do? We can give it to Jesus. What did the Bible say in first book of Colossians? I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. Think about it, folks. If we're going to follow Christ, we're going to follow him through his death and resurrection. Not just the, you don't get the resurrection without the death. We have to die to ourselves.
That's right. Terry, and this whole, in my opinion, this whole medical marijuana craze,
yeah,
where we get CBD oil from,
yeah,
it's an extract from marijuana. This is all, Terry, been funded by atheist billionaires like George Soros being one. We know that.
That's a fact.
And also it's been being funded by the God-denying Democrats. Yeah. In my opinion, Terry, this whole CBD oil extracted from marijuana, it's the scheme of Satan so that people will not suffer. It's to create this false utopia on earth. In other words, this was predicted by a book written by Aldous Huxley, a secular guy who wrote a book called A Brave New World about 100 years ago. And in that book, he describes a future that where humans are dehumanized. How? There's an absence of spirituality. He says there's an obsession with physical pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
There's misuse of technology. And there's also this wonder drug called Soma. Guess what? Everything he wrote about 100 years ago, it's happening right now. And this wonder drug, I'm just scratching my head. Can this be marijuana and CBD? Here's my take, Terry.
Tell us.
Medical marijuana and CBD is, in my take, a diabolical distraction which seeks to bypass our Lord's plan that humans need to suffer. We need to carry our cross, Matthew 16:24, especially as we get older.
Amen.
Because this helps us unite more closely to God as we feel our mortality and our life ebbing away. And this suffering helps the soul detach from this world and unite more radically to God, whose perfect love and goodness and beauty and truth. And marijuana, Terry, and CBD oil, to live a intoxicated life,
yeah,
on your particular judgment.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
You're asking
that
for trouble.
Dangerous. Not me. No thanks.
Nope.
I got enough sins to account for. I want to live sober, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, and see God sober.
Amen. Up next, how Our Lady of Pompeii converted a Satanist to the city and gave us the miraculous 54-day rosary novena, and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith.
Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and you are listening to The Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. How Our Lady of Pompeii converted a Satanist,
I love it,
a city, and gave us the miraculous 54-day rosary novena. You know, over the years, there's been hundreds of miracles that have been attributed to Our Lady of Pompeii and the irresistible novena to Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii. It's commonly called the 54-day rosary novena. And I want to get right into the story, because this story is connected with an ex-Satanist.
That's right.
The way he converted a city through Our Lady of Pompeii. Blessed Bartolo Longo promulgated the rosary amongst Pompeii. This is in Italy, in Naples, Italy. He unearthed a tattered secondhand painting from a convent in Naples, Italy, which portrayed the Virgin Mary and the infant Jesus holding rosaries and accompanied by St. Dominic and St. Catherine of Siena.
Wow.
Although this dilapidated painting was eventually restored by Blessed Bartolo Longo, this very depiction of Our Lady of the Rosary resulted in the miraculous healing of the young Fortuna Agrelli years later. Now, who was Bartolo Longo? He was a devout layman and lawyer. Although he was raised Catholic, he lost his faith in college.
Yep.
Becoming heavily involved with the practice of spiritualism and the occult in college, Bartolo did all in his power to undermine Catholicism. This left him with nothing but anxiety and depression, sending him into dark depths of despair. Bartolo eventually sought help and was directed to Father Alberto Radente, a Dominican priest deeply devoted to the Virgin Mary. Mm. So with a newfound sense of peace, Bartolo Longo completely abandoned his old ways of the occult and Satanism and desired to do everything he could to bring other closer to the fullness of truth and to help the poor, as he was converted through the rosary.
I love it.
In 1871, he became a Third Order Dominican and was given the name Brother Rosario in honor of the rosary. So while traveling to Pompeii, Italy in 1872 to help a wealthy lady named Mariana de Fusco with some legal matters, Bartolo was immediately struck by the state of the city. He saw many had abandoned their Catholic faith, much like here, Terry.
Oh.
He saw church buildings required urgent repair. Poverty prevailed, and many locals stopped attending Mass on Sunday. Bartolo then discovered his true mission. He was called to bring Catholicism back to the life in the ancient city of Pompeii, Italy. So by restoring this dilapidated church and the old portrait of Our Lady obtained from Naples, he inaugurated a confraternity of the Rosary, sponsoring a festival in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, opening charities, helping orphans, the sick, and the poor. And Bartolo rekindled the faith of many. Terry, you want to pick it up?
I will, Jesse. This story touches my heart because, Jesse, have you ever been in an airplane flying over Los Angeles? Well, once or twice, right? Oh, and at night, you see all these lights and you see the city.
It breaks my heart, Terry.
You know where I'm going, brother Jesse.
I say, how many people down there don't know Jesus?
That's right. I see
every time I fly.
Yep. That's exactly what I do, too. And it's powerful to have that meditation. And pray for the people. It's just important, but okay, like a city awakening from a slumber, the faith of the people of Pompeii were brought back to life, you know, through one man and the rosary. Today, the restored church has been declared a pontifical shrine and basilica of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii. Now, I remember this. 1979, Pope John Paul II went on pilgrimage to Pompeii. He later beatified Bartolo Longo on October 26, 1980. Jesse, millions flock to the shrine every year as many miracles are attributed to Our Lady of Pompeii. Jess, you take it from there because that touched my heart just to know that he is bringing souls to Christ, and I want to imitate those saints. We have to do the same thing here on Virgin Most Powerful.
He says, however, one of the greatest miracles thus far was Our Lady of Pompeii's apparition to a young girl named Fortuna Agrelli.
Oh, you'll like this.
So here's where the 5040 Rosary Novena comes in.
You got it.
So on March 3rd, 1884, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Fortuna Agrelli. Mary sat on a high throne with the infant Jesus on her lap and a rosary in her hand.
Picture this.
They were accompanied by St. Dominic and St. Catherine of Siena, two powerhouses.
Yeah, really?
For 13 months, the young Fortuna endured immense suffering and pain. Her doctors gave up, deeming it a hopeless case. But clinging onto her last ray of hope, the dying girl and her family began a novena of rosaries, desperately imploring Our Lady's intercession. Queen of the Holy Rosary, be gracious to me. Restore me to health. I have already prayed to thee in a novena, O Mary, but have not yet experienced thy aid. I am so anxious to be cured, beseeched the young Agrelli. Our Lady responded, you have invoked me by various titles and always obtained favors from me. Now, since you have called me by the title so pleasing to me, Queen of the Rosary, I can no longer refuse the favor that you petition, for this name is most precious and dear to me. Make three novenas, and you will obtain all. Our Lady appeared a second time, saying, whoever desires to obtain favors from me should make three novenas of the prayers of the rosary. That's 9 times 3 is 27.
That's right.
And three novenas in thanksgiving. Yep. 9 times 3 is 27.
Yep.
27 plus 27.
54.
57. So she said, eventually, after completing the six rosary novenas, the young girl was cured. Our Lady's intercession on behalf of the young Agrelli resulted in the miraculous 50-day rosary novena. The young girl Agrelli's healing through Our Lady's intercession had a profound effect on Pope Leo XIII, who encouraged all to cherish the rosary and say it ardently. So this powerful novena involves reciting the rosary each day for 27 days in petition, and then a rosary each day for 27 days in thanksgiving, with the relevant mystery prayers indicated for each day. And as such, the 54-day rosary novena is a sequence of six uninterrupted 9-day novenas requiring three novenas of petition and three novenas of thanksgiving and the promises of Our Lady of Pompeii. And the 54-day rosary novena are beacons of hope to a world tormented by a tumultuous ocean of worry and fear. And in the most desperate cases where it feels as though all hope has been lost, this novena of rosaries allows us to implore Our Lady's intercession so that the Blessed Virgin may grant us the favor we trustingly seek. And so we say, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us.
And I would encourage you to use that rosary on a son or a daughter or a family member that is away from the church. You can get all this by going to jesseromero.com's website or virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And this article will be there for you. Because I don't know if anybody I talk to, Jess, if I ask the question, how many have friends or relatives not practicing the faith, raised their hand? We all do. In our family, Jesse's family, we all have them. So what do we need to do? We need to pray for them, for their conversion. And I think this 54-day novena is perfect for that. And I would encourage you to do just that. Jesse, I want to remind everybody tomorrow, you're going to be out of town, but I'm going to have Dr. Janet Smith again,
ooh,
the third Friday.
I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, with Father Charles Murr. We're going to be talking about transgenderism and talking about the morality of it from a moral theologian perspective. And Father Charles Murr will also be chiming in on the conversation. So if you have, I mean, we 20 years ago, we would have never talked about this, Jesse. But we have to talk about this and show what the Catholic Church teaches and what's moral and what isn't, because we all want to be pleasing God. Jesse, where are you going to be this weekend? Is it Atlanta?
Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm flying back on Monday, so I'm going to probably missing the shows on Mondays as well. But the fact is, I'll be at Holy Cross Catholic Church giving a parish mission in English and Spanish. That's why they're keeping there for 4 days. So it's the parish mission at Holy Cross Catholic Church in English, 2 days, Spanish, 2 days, Atlanta, Georgia. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Wonderful. And next week, I'm going to be at St. Dominic's Catholic Church in Bellflower on the 11th of March and on the 9th of March. Both days, I'll be speaking on the angels. Okay, so we have that. And then later in the month at St. Alphonsus Liguori's Parish in East L.A. on March 26th and 27th, I'm going to be talking on divine mercy. And I'm not going to be talking about fake mercy. I'm going to be talking about real mercy, where we need to have people repent of their sins. So if you want to go to those events, they're welcome to join me. And also, I'm going to be up at the Knights of Columbus Conference. It's a men's conference up in the Central Coast at St. Rose of Lima. I think, Jesse, you've been at St. Rose of Lima many times.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they asked me to come up.
Yep.
April 4th, it'll be a day long, 9 to 3. I would love to have you come. You can go there by calling 805-423-4448. Jesse, give us real quick the five stones. We got a minute?
Yep. Remember, guys, the five stones of David.
Yep.
We are all part of, we're all under the kingdom of the new David.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So as followers of the new David, let's pick up our five stones and slay the culture of death, which is Goliath, and the culture of modernism, and the culture of heresy.
Yep.
So how do we tap into 1 Samuel 17 with these five stones? Number one, pray the rosary every day from your heart.
Amen.
Okay, or if you don't pray the rosary every day, you're not on the team.
Exactly.
How's that?
Yep, that's it.
Number two, go to Mass every Sunday. Six holy days of obligation. Go to Mass as often as possible. If you can get to daily Mass, better. We need more people going to daily Mass.
Amen.
Also, pay visits to the Blessed Sacrament if you can't get to daily Mass. And assign yourself a weekly holy hour and commit to spending an hour in meditation and contemplation before our Eucharistic Lord. Number three, read your Bible every day. You're going to say, how do I do that? Take your Bible and follow the Mass readings. Read the Bible with the heart of the church. Read it liturgically. Read it according to the readings of the day. You can get a Magnificat. It's got on your iPhone. And when you read the Mass readings, do it Lexio Divina style. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Read it three times slowly and ask yourself, Lord, what are you telling me? Number four, Fridays, it's a day of prayer and penance and fasting. It's right now in Lent, it's mandatory. It's obligation. It's church law. Outside of Lent, it's still church law to do penance on Fridays. And so do something on Fridays. Step it up.
Amen.
Do something that's going to be painful and offer it to the Lord for as a reparation for our sins and the sins of the world. And also, if you're in a state of grace, praise the Lord.
Amen.
How do you stay in a state of grace? Okay. Go to confession every month. That way you do a nice little tune-up on your soul. That's the tune-up masters right there. But if you're not in a state of grace right now, get to confession as soon as possible and maintain that status by going at least every month and doing a heartfelt act of contrition after an examination of conscience every night.
Full contact Catholicism. For our new listeners today, I just want to thank you. I hope you're inspired to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Don't forget, tomorrow, Dr. Janet Smith, one of the best moral theologians in the country, will be here with Father Charles Murr to talk on transgenderism and to reach out to those folks with the good news of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. I always like to say this, that here at Virgin Most Powerful, we appreciate all of our listeners. And if you have questions or comments, go right on our website at Virgin Most Powerful Radio or on our app. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.